Okay, Trevor, you can see me, you can hear me, life is good. If you can hear me, okay. So the last thing we learned was this machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that Beis Shammai says you should not sell chametz to the goy unless you know for certain that the goy will consume the chametz before Pesach. And Beis Hillel says that it is permitted. Reb Yehuda and Beseira makes the comment that you should not sell kutach, because apparently kutach is an item which it takes a long time to eat. Kutach is an item that is recognizable. People know whose kutach it was. Therefore, you should not sell the kutach to the goy within 30 days of yontif. Just a few points to make about kutach, and then I want to talk about the sugya of mechiras chametz in general. And then, if we're all nice tonight, if we're like in good moods, maybe we can move on to medication on Pesach. That's basically the goal for tonight. So, in terms of kutach. So Tosfos over here, Tosfos at the top of Chof Aleph Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda says that kutach, you should not sell within 30 days before Pesach. So the re-quote to the Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbi Yehuda follows Beis Hillel, we spoke about this last time, and you cannot sell kutach because it is shame by love. Olav, v'yodem shu kutach shel ploni v'yisperusha, so the first point is that people will think that you sold it to the goy on Pesach. I saw in this sefer that I carry around with me just for good luck, Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach's notes on Pesachim. So Reb Shlomo Zalman comments that how come we sell chametz when it's known that the chametz is chametz of a Jew? Let's say you're in Israel, and like there's this thing that says Angel's Bakery in Hebrew letters, right? And they sell the chametz, right? What could be more Jewish? So what's the heter? So it's not exactly clear why it's permitted according to Tosfos. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, well, maybe the heter only helps for regular chametz that people could buy. Like if it's a bottle of scotch, no one knows that this bottle of scotch was owned by a Jew beforehand, because scotch is sold anywhere and everywhere. But it's not so precious based on this that it should be mutter to sell the chametz to the goy if it's noticeable that it's Jewish chametz. So we commented last time that maybe we follow the Rabbeinu Chananel. Reb Shlomo Zalman, right, that Rabbeinu Chananel had the girsa of lafuke mehani tanoi. Reb Shlomo Zalman has a different approach. He thinks that maybe the whole issue in our Gemara is when someone is selling chametz in order to get out of the iser, right before the zman, you're trying to unload your chametz to avoid the iser. But we do our mechiras chametz 2 hours beforehand. We do our mechiras chametz at a time that if you'd want to go into the street and sell the chametz to anybody, there's still a market for it. People are going to buy it. So therefore, it does not appear like you're really violating the iser of just trying to unload your chametz. That's the cheshbin that he makes. Again, it's not clear. But Reb Shlomo Zalman is basically arguing that the entire discussion in our Gemara relates to a situation where it's clear that you're trying to unload the chametz in order to fulfill your mitzvah of destroying the chametz. But if I am selling chametz and it appears like it's a regular sale, it appears like it's the way people sell stuff, then the entire discussion of maybe I should hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the Bach's Kasha, etc., that's not relevant because we sell our chametz in a way that it looks like a normal sale. That's the first point we wanted to make. Then Tosfos writes, Lekain oser Reb Yehuda limkar kutach lenachri, v'asi shapir afla Rabbeinu Tam demefaresh bereish elu ovrim demutar lahashos kutach b'pesach. What Tosfos is referring to is as follows. The beginning of the third parak says elu ovrim b'pesach. They're the following items that ovrim b'pesach. Now, what that word ovrim means is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. If you turn to Daf Mem Beis, the Taptosis in the third parak, right, one of the examples of Elo Ovrim B'Pesach is Kutach, right? Our beloved friend Kutach, that I'm telling you, you're going to dream tonight about Kutach. It's going to be amazing. I just implanted that idea in your brain. You're never getting rid of it. So, the first Tosis in the third parak says, Elu Ovrim B'Pesach, that Rashi holds that you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Rashi holds that these items, like Kutach, which are called Chametz Nuksha, it is some item that the process of Chimutz began and it stopped. Or it is Chametz that's not really edible. So according to Rashi, you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh on this Chametz. Tosfos quotes that Einir L'Rabbeinu Tam Dimashma Dekol Hanach Marbina Mikol Machmetzes Lo Tochelu V'Afilu V'Achila Lo Havem Achayev V'Lav D'Rab Yekra U'Mehichatesi Ba'Yiroh U'Ba'Yimotzei. Rabbeinu Tam says that if you look at the third parak, we have a special pasuk of Kol Machmetzes Lo Tochelu. That pasuk teaches me that these items in the Mishnah, the Kutach, etc., are Aser. The fact that I need a special pasuk indicates that this is not the type of item that you violate Bal Yirah. If anything, were it not to be for the pasuk, you'd even be allowed to eat your Kutach on Pesach. But the pasuk says, Kol Machmetzes Lo Tochelu, so therefore you can't eat it. But you don't get the impression that there's Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. So therefore, Nirei Lo Rabbeinu Tam, the Elu Ovrin Perusho Ha'Ochlin, the Ovrin Hainu Me'al Hashulchan Delav B'nei Mechon Ninhu Aval Ba'Yiroe Lecha. Tosfos basically says Elu Ovrin means get rid of it. There's no Ba'Yiroe, but nonetheless, we want to get rid of it because we're worried you'll get benefit from it. Our Tosfos at the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis is saying that you're allowed to keep the Kutach on Pesach, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says Mutar LaHashos Kutach BePesach, that you could keep it. Nonetheless, right? I don't violate Bal Yirah on the Kutach. I could keep my Kutach, enjoy your Kutach. Well, don't enjoy it, but you could keep your Kutach, etc. But you can't get Hana'ah from it. And therefore, in order to make sure that you won't violate the Isser Hana'ah, that's why people are selling their Kutach. So according to the Tosfos, and we mentioned this in passing last time, the idea, the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is twofold. Not only because Kutach is the type of item that's shame by Olav, not only do people know that this was your Kutach, but also Kutach is not a full-fledged chametz, and you don't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, but nonetheless, you're supposed to sell your Kutach so that you don't get benefit from it. Tosfos on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis says that you are allowed to keep your Kutach over Pesach, Mutar LaHashoso, but you can't get Hana'ah from it because of the concern that you might get Hana'ah from it. That's why you sell the Kutach. It happens that Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph, the last like 3-4 lines of the Tosfos, says a little differently. The last 3 lines of Tosfos quotes that you're not allowed to keep your Kutach in your house over Pesach. Our Tosfos says you're allowed to keep it, just make sure you don't get Hana'ah, so we sell it so that you don't get Hana'ah. Tosfos is basically suggesting on Daf Beis Amud Aleph that the reason for Bedikas Chametz is that you shouldn't come to eat the Chametz. So I search for the Chametz, so I don't come to eat it. What that means is any Chametz that I might eat, I have to look for. And when I look for Chametz, that also means I have to get rid of the Chametz. No, I don't go Bedikas Chametz for no purpose. If I'm looking for the Chametz, I'll have to get rid of it. So according to Tosis on Beis Amud Aleph, Chametz Nuksha also, your Kutach, you also are not allowed to keep over Pesach. But Tosis on Chof Aleph Amud Beis says you are allowed to keep the Chametz on Pesach, are allowed to keep the Kutach on Pesach. Nonetheless, Tosis on Chof Aleph Amud Beis says that you should sell it to make sure you don't get Hanukkah from it. So this is just the taking inventory of what we did last time. Now, ladies, the only real source in Shas for selling chametz is right here, Daf Kaf Aleph and Pesachim. There's also a Tosefta. The Tosefta talks about people who are on the boat, a bunch of Tanayim are on the boat, and they didn't get rid of their chametz. So one of them says to the other one, hey, let me sell it. And they sell the chametz to the goy. But the real source of mechiras chametz, by the way, I'm a recovering rabbi, right? I hate mechiras chametz. It is the biggest pain because like you have to meet with all the people in the shul and everyone comes and you go through what exactly you're selling and you go through the list. It takes up hours and hours and hours. So much of our Erev Pesach is dedicated to mechiras chametz. But Mechiras Chametz is not really found in Shas. It's only in Shas over here on Daf Chaf Aleph, on Machlokas Beishamei Beiselo, can I sell the Chametz? Right? But Mechiras Chametz does not exist in Shas besides here. So how is it that Mechiras Chametz became such a big deal? I apologize. Have to speak louder? Because it's expensive liquor and people don't want to lose their stuff.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. The Bach agrees with you. But the best essay about Mechiras Chametz, I just went up to my office before to get it. In Rav Zevin's Sefer HaMoadim B'Halacha, he has an essay about Mechiras Chametz. And effectively, Mechiras Chametz was done on a case-by-case basis. Now, a guy, you're stuck on a boat, so you sell chametz. This idea that Mechiras Chametz became standardized is very recent. Very recent in Jewish time, which means like a couple hundred years old. Now, the Beis Yosef has a text in the Tosefta. The Tosefta, which is the other source of Mechiras Chametz, the Beis Yosef has a text that says, Ubovad shelo ya'arim. Ha'arim means a loophole, which we'll call an illegal loophole. So the text in the Tosefta says, sell the chametz, but don't do it in a illegal loophole sort of way. So Beis Yosef says, come on, the only Mechiras Chametz we do is a ha'arim, no? All of Mechiras Chametz is, I used to put out like a fact sheet, you know, frequently asked questions. So the first question everyone always asks is, come on, Rabbi, isn't Mechiras Chametz just a sham? It's a fake. Come on, like, what are you doing? The answer is, no, it's not a sham. But the Beis Yosef says, one second, it really is. Because the Tosefta says, Ubovad shelo yarim. So the Beis Yosef says, Ubovad shelo yarim means, do not sell the Chametz to the Goy on a condition. The way Mechiras Chametz works is that I do not sell the Chametz to the Goy and say, listen, Slobodan. By the way, Slobodan is my official name for a Goy because I don't know any Jew named Slobodan. So I go over to Slobodan. I said, Slobodan, I'm selling you the Chametz. I'm not allowed to say, Slobodan, I'm selling you the Chametz on the condition that you'll sell it back to me after Yontif. Because once I make it conditional, that indicates, that shows that the entire sale is a sham. Rather, I have to make a complete sale to the guy. Now, when we sell chametz, just like the way it basically works, is you are not selling your chametz to the rabbi. The rabbi is not interested in buying your stinking box of pasta. He doesn't want it. What you are doing is you are designating the rabbi as your agent, as your shaliach, to sell the chametz for you. Now, we don't really know how much the chametz is worth. A couple of hundred people sell the chametz through the rabbi. So the rabbi goes to the guy, and the rabbi says, Slobodan, I have chametz from 500 people. I want you to buy it. So the guy's like, I don't know what it's worth. And he say, listen, Slobodan, we'll figure out the price in a couple of days. Right now, give me a down payment. So the guy gives a down payment, which has to be a shove pruta for each mocher. Now, a pruta varies. It's based on the price of silver. So for every seller, all the rabbi really has to do is keep track of how many sellers there are. And you need a pruta for each seller. So I think last year was around 2 cents. Okay, that's it. So the guy gives 2 cents per mocher as a down payment. After Pesach, you go over to the guy and you say, Slobodan, you know, it was your chametz the whole time. Do you want to figure out how much you owe us for the chametz? So Slobodan's going to say, you know, it's going to be really complicated. Maybe you should buy it back. It's just too complicated. So what you do is you give the down payment back to the guy. That's the basic way Mechiras Chametz works. Now, Mechiras Chametz should be relatively simple. The problem is in Choshen Mishpat, it gets complicated. Because in Choshen Mishpat, I have various kinyonim. Right? If I want to buy a behema daka, so you're kona with Meshicha. Right? You pull the animal for amos. If you want to buy a behema Gasa. So there's again, so no, Behema Daka Yakona Bahagba, Behema Gasa Yakona with Meshicha. There's one opinion that says that you're also Kona Behema Gasa with Hagba, and the Gemara asks, how do you Kona appeal? How are you Kona an elephant with Hagba? The Gemara answers that, like, you hang some food up so the elephant jumps. One of the big problems that Rabbi Dr. Slifkin deals with is apparently elephants don't know how to jump. But that's what the Gemara says. Now, those kinyanim would work. A guy, according to some, is kona with kesef. It's a machlokas of Yechon Mishlokish. According to others, a guy makes a kinyan with meshicha or hagba. So if I would sell my pasta to my neighbor, so it's a very easy thing. What you have to do is you say, listen, pay for it and pick it up. If you have Meshicha and Kinyan Kesef, that definitely works. Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish argue which one works, right? Either Kesef or Meshicha. And there's Machlokas Rashi and Taisus how we paskin, so we do both. So Kesef and Meshicha would work. But when I'm dealing with 500 people selling their chametz, it gets more complicated, no? So which kinyanim can work? Well, we have another issue, which is that I don't want the chametz in my house. So I also have to sell the area where the chametz is to the guy. Well, okay. How do you sell real estate? Well, karka is nikneis, b'chazoka, b'shtar, right? You can have a document. You can make a cheskas kinyan, which is that, like, you put a lock on or something like that. Now it's getting a little complicated, no? We can't really do meshicha anymore because we have too much chametz. We could do kesef, we could do the down payment, but that might not work. Shtar might not work on the metaltalin. The shtar might work only on the karka. Once you're going to the karka, maybe it works based on the principle called kinyan agav. Agav means that once you're kona the karka, agav the karka by force of the kinyan Karka, you also get the metal to land it. Well, Kinyan Agav is a question, whether it's Deraisa Derabbanon. And if it's a Kinyan Derabbanon, so then Chazal didn't make Kinyanim Derabbanon for Goyim. So we don't know if Agav works. Well, then there's another Kinyan called Kinyan Sudar. Kinyan Sudar is that like you give a handkerchief, you pick it up, and it symbolically shows the transfer of ownership. Well, does Kinyan Sudar work for Goyim? Unclear. Does Shtar work? We don't really know. We really are not sure which Kinyan works, so therefore we do five Kinyanim with the guy, and we hope and we pray that it works. The assumption is that we're covering all of our bases, and that's how the Mechiras Chametz works. Okay. So Mechiras Chametz is relatively recent. We do it on a mass scale for the last couple of hundred years. It says in Shulchan Aruch, make sure it's not a ha'aroma, which means make sure that you don't do it as a kinyan on Tanai. You have to do a full-fledged kinyan. The guy owns it. You make it very clear. The guy owns it. But after Yontiv, right, the guy will pay the balance due. The guy only gives a down payment. And if the guy doesn't want to pay the balance due, so then you buy it back from the guy. That's the way we do Mechiras Chametz. Now, there again, we are certainly simplifying things, but Rev Schechter in his Sefer, in the Ve'ikve Hatzon, it's on page 74-75. Rev Schechter has an essay where he says, come on, you still are gaming the system, no? No matter what you're going to say, so it's not a mechira on its nai. It's not conditional, but you're still gaming the system. It still is a harama. So Rav Schechter develops the idea that ha'aroma is permitted on mitzvos lo sa'aseh, but not on mitzvos aseh. Meaning, if I have a bechor, my animal gives birth to a firstborn baby boy. So the Bukhar has Kedushas Bukhar. Bizman hazeh, we can't be makriv the Bukhar. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So there's a problem. You might end up getting Hana'ah from that Bukhar. That would be an Isser of Me'ilah. So what we do is we sell the Bukhar to a guy. That's what we do Bizman hazeh. How come we're allowed to do that? So Taisus at the beginning of Bukhar says, since there's no mitzvah to be makriv the Bukhar anymore, we don't have, it's only an Isser. We could do ha'aroma to avoid an Isser. You just can't do ha'aroma to avoid a mitzvah. When Hashem gives us a mitzvah asay, Hashem says, Chevra, I want you to do this mitzvah. That means don't get out of it. Do the mitzvah. But if it is not a mitzvah asay, if it's a lav, so Hashem is saying, I don't want you to violate. So I could say, Shalom alai nafshi, I'm not violating, it's not mine, I sold it. I sold the Bechor. When we sell the Chometz, we are selling the Chometz to avoid Ba'ye Ra'e Ba'ye Matze. We are selling the Chometz to avoid the Isser. Isn't there a mitzvah also? The mitzvah of Tashbisu. How am I allowed to sell the Chometz? Isn't that a way of avoiding my mitzvah? And we say the ha'aroma is only permitted on a lav, on an iser. There's no ha'aroma on a mitzvah. In other words, right. So there are a few ways of saying this, right? It could be that I'm selling the chometz before the asay of tashbisu, right? Is that what you're saying, Abigail? So the mitzvah asay didn't set in yet, but still, right? You have to deal with the question: how am I allowed to sell the chometz? L'maisa, by selling the chometz, I am not getting my mitzvah asay because I have a mitzvah asay of tashbisu. And now I'm not going to get that mitzvah because I don't have chametz anymore. So there are two ways of saying this. One way of saying this is the piece that I gave you in the Rebbe Chanan. Rebbe Chanan has a suggestion that maybe the mitzvah of Tashbisu, like we pointed out, if we don't paskin like the Tanna Rebbe Yehuda, so you don't have to burn the chametz. You just can't own the chametz. It could be that by selling the chametz to the goy, I am mekayim Tashbisu. It doesn't, right? That's my way of fulfilling the mitzvah. Now, of course, that would mean that you're not getting the mitzvah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And we pointed out that there are some who paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you should burn the chametz. So according to those positions, if you're choshish Rabbi Yehuda, what you have to do is, when you sell the chametz to the rabbi, or when the rabbi sells the chametz to the goy, the rabbi should say, my dear beloved Slobodan, I am selling you all the chametz that my 500 people in shul authorized me to sell. But I have this one bag of 10 little pieces of bread that I bought in the sperm store because I had nothing better to do with my money. So I have this bag of 10 pieces of bread. And I am selling all my chametz besides those 10 little pieces of bread. And each of my 500 mochrim is also not selling their 10 pieces of bread. So the goy is not kone that little bag of chametz that you have remaining. That chametz belongs to you. Then you burn the chametz and you fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu with fire according to Rabbi Yehuda, because you're burning the last bit of chametz that you own. But that means that you should not burn your chametz too early in the morning. You should not burn your chametz until after the rabbi sold the chametz to the goy. Because if I burn my chametz before the rabbi sold the chametz, so then effectively I'm not getting the mitzvah of destroying chametz through fire, which is what I'm supposed to do. So effectively, Rav Schechter in his Sefer recommends not burning your chametz too early. Every year I used to go sell chametz in Riverdale. Rabbi Willig has like this massive chametz sale. It's like, it's amazing. There's like probably 50, 60 rabbis who come. They all sell the chametz to someone named John Brown. It has nothing to do with Harper's Ferry. It's a different John Brown. So I would go and sell the chametz in Riverdale. I'd come back to the Heights after the chametz is sold, and then I'm going to burn my little bit of chametz. And every year, Rav Schechter's there on the basketball court. It's like 10 minutes before the last possible time that you're allowed to own chametz, and then he's starting to burn those chametz at the last possible moment. But that's exactly proper, because what you're supposed to do is burn the chametz at the last moment that you can, meaning make sure you're burning the chametz. It doesn't have to be the last moment necessarily, but you have to make sure that you're burning the chametz after the guy already purchased it. One last bit of information here about Mechiras Chametz. We asked the question, isn't it Harama? Isn't it a fake? So there are some of the poskim who say, Reb Sender Shor in his Sefer Bechor Shor writes that we permit Harama under Rabbanans, not under Raisas. In other words, you're allowed to sell the chametz if the only issue is a derabanan. But you can't sell the chametz if the issue is deraisa. And this leads a lot of people to the chumrah that they don't sell full-fledged chametz. You ever heard of people have like this chumrah that we don't sell, right? This is all based on that tavuas shar. Because the tavuas shar said, now, it's questionable. Because l'maisa, I'm selling the chametz before there's an iser at all. And it could be that you're even allowed to sell a d'oraisa chametz before there's an iser. But people have this understanding, they're choshish for the b'chor shor, so therefore they don't sell real chametz. But this issue comes up in another way as well. My kids have these things called pet rats. They are named Frank and Bix. Now, if any of you have pet rats, you know that rat food is chametz. So what do you do? Now, this is going to be a ha'arama on a d'oraisa, in that the rat is getting fed chametz on Pesach. You are benefiting because you want the rat to stay alive and not to die. And you want that rat to consume the chametz so that the rat won't die. Even though the rat belongs to the guy, even though the chametz belongs to the guy, you have to make sure that the rat also belongs to the guy. Because if the rat belongs to you, and the rat is eating chametz, then your rat is benefiting from the chametz, and you're benefiting from the chametz because you're happy that your rat has chametz. So what you have to do is sell the rat and sell the food to the guy. So what I do, So most in the earlier years, what we used to do is we would sell the, this was before we had rats. I had someone in the show who had a chinchilla. So chinchillas also, who would guess that these animals only eat chametz? Right? So apparently chinchillas also only eat chametz. So the earlier years, we would sell the chinchilla to the guy. I actually showed up at the Mechiras Chametz with like a picture on my phone. I'm like, John, you want to buy a chinchilla? It's like, it's so cute, you know, I'll sell it to you. And John's like, wow, a chinchilla. There's one other thing that John got excited about when I sold him, which is that there was a liquor store here on 181st and Bennett, a Jewish-owned liquor store. Now, this is awesome. John Brown was like, you're telling me I'm going to own a whole liquor store? I'm like, yeah. He's like, how much do they have? So I give him the inventory. Ask, like, how many bottles this guy? And John was like, wow, this is awesome. I'm like, it's yours, John. Show up, Bennett Avenue, 181st, it's your store. He was like really excited. But he was also excited about the chinchilla. So you're selling him a chinchilla, and you're selling him the chinchilla food. The way we used to do it in the earlier years is that the guy would designate the previous owner of the chinchilla as the guy's shaliach to feed the chinchilla. Right? So this woman owned the chinchilla. Her name was Bethany, actually. So Bethany would sell the chinchilla and chinchilla food to the guy, and the guy would designate Bethany as the guy's shaliach to feed the guy's chinchilla. Again, what?
Isn't it weird that my first thought was like, you'll have a Chavi Moshe sending it to Balfaro and then still raise it as a soldier?
Okay. So what we do is, you sit, that's what we used to do in the earlier years. Then like 2 years ago, as I was looking into this, and so the post can really say that that looks really bad. Because if you're selling the chinchilla and the food and everything is exactly as it was done beforehand, right? 2 days before Pesach, I feed my chinchilla. On Pesach, I feed the chinchilla. It looks exactly the same. So that really smells bad. So the Mishnah Berurah actually does not like this sale. The Mishnah Berurah says, don't sell the chinchilla and be appointed as a shaliach. Rather, when you sell the chinchilla, either you should move the chinchilla to the guy's house. Some people do this with their dogs. They put the dog in the kennel for the whole yontif. I think some dog food is not necessarily chametz, right? But chinchilla food is, who would guess? So what you could do is you could give the chinchilla to the guy and have the chinchilla stay in the guy's house. But the guy might not want it. So the Mishnah Berurah is makel that you sell the cage of the chinchilla to the guy, and you can have the guy himself come and feed the chinchilla if the guy agrees. Now, this is not a simple thing. It's hard to find the guy who's going to agree to show up in your house and feed your chinchilla. But I didn't have a chinchilla. My kids had a have rats. The names are Frank and Vix. They're very cute. Frank is white, Vix is like brownish. I had the super of Mount Sinai. His name is Nick. Nick Probst. Again, this year was also much more difficult to sell plummets because they had this like little pandemic thing going on. But I went to Nick and I'm like, Nick, do you want to buy two rats? And Nick is like, I live in Washington Heights. Who wouldn't want rats? Gewaldig. So Nick bought the rats. I bring the rat feed to Nick. Every day on Yontiv, Nick would knock on the door at 8 a.m. and he'd say, I want to feed my rats. That's great. Right? That mamish were, again, I don't know what we're going to do moving forward, but for this past year, we had Nick show up every day of Yontiv and feed his rats. He would come with the bag of rat feed. And again, the idea of Mechiras Chametz is that you have to make sure it's not a joke. Like, the guy has to know what he's doing. The advantage of Rabbi Willig when he sells with John Brown is that John Brown's a real estate agent. He knows how deals work. This past year, I think, John Brown didn't want to come because of the pandemic. So they sold the chametz to, what's the guy's name who does the security in SAR? What? Nick. Also Nick, right. Right. So Nick ended up buying all the chametz in the New York area this year. It's not as good as John Brown, because John Brown has the advantage that he's a multimillionaire. He can actually afford this stuff. John Brown is like a real estate agent in Fieldston. Like, so, you know who he is?
No, I would. do you get any, profit?
Yeah, so the guy does not officially get profit. The thing is that most rabbis understand that the guy is doing this and they kind of sweeten the deal for the guy. So usually what you do is you show up and you give the guy a couple of bottles of scotch, like, you know, and John Brown always says, Rabbi, I will make sure to dispose of this appropriately. That's like his official, that's his official line. If they get paid, again, I'm allowed to pay somebody to buy stuff from me. No, I'm just sweetening the deal. The only thing is like the price of the deal. And then it's sort of like giving a broker's fee almost. Right. I mean, the guy is paying me for the chametz, but I pay him for his time, right, to come before Pesach, etc. That doesn't undermine the deal. The guy does not lose on the sale of chametz. John Brown is like pushing 80 already. He's convinced that the thing that keeps him alive is that he does this good service for the Jewish community and that he buys everybody's chametz. Okay. It's not my rat. It's Nick's rat. I sell the rat to Nick. I sell the rat food to Nick. Nick, it happens that the rat in the rat cage is very big. Nick didn't want to have the rat in his apartment. So Nick's rat stays in. What?
But you could still be really happy that Nick's rat gets fed.
So again, if I'm happy that a nice rat gets fed, it's like if I'm happy that your dog gets fed, that is just my psychological issue. But I'm not allowed to be happy that my rat is getting fed. The Bechor Shor's Cheshbon is that if the rat is getting fed, if it's my rat, so I'm happy that my rat gets fed, so that would be an Isur D'oraisa, and Haroma doesn't help on D'oraisas. So you have to sell the rat and sell the rat food, but you also have to do it in a way that doesn't look like a complete fake. So what I did this past year, I have this whole contract. I could show it to you. I have a whole contract that Nick hereby agrees to buy Frank and Bix, the two rats. They are located at 475 West 186 Street, blah, 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 blah. Give the whole Torah about the rats. I was thinking of attaching pictures of the rats to the document, but I don't know if like the picture is legally enforceable. Like probably all rats look, at least all rats look the same to me. Again, why my kids have pet rats, I don't know. I don't understand it, but that's what they like. So that's what we do. So we sold the pet rats, not to Nick of SAR, but to Nick of Mount Sinai. Okay, Chevra, should we? Yeah, Abigail? I'm just going to stand up. Here.
That's the issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Shemitah. So Heter, Mathira, and Shemitah. Tovshem Pei Beis is going to be Shemitah. So Maran Harash Kuk, the Heter, Mathira exists. Basically, there was Shemitah of 1892, and people died. Shemitah of 1892. No, there's 1896, and what's 7 years before 1896? 1889, 1896. 1889, people died. 1896, what? Because people died because the Jewish farmers in Eretz Yisrael, there are six settlements. There's Rishon LeZion and Gedera, and there's only like six, and Mozart, there's like six settlements, of six farming agricultural settlements. In 1882 and 1889, the people Mamish, they died. 1896, there was a whole discussion about selling the land in Eretz Yisrael to Goyim. The Rav of Yafo, Rav Kook's predecessor, was Rav Peretz somebody. And he put together a Heter Mechira that they should sell the land in Eretz Yisrael to the Goyim to avoid the Isurim of Shemitah. But the Beis Din in Yerushalayim was not maskim. Some of the Rabbonim in Europe were maskim, some of the Beis Din in Yerushalayim was not maskim. By Shemitah of 1903 already, Rav Kook is in charge of the Heter of the selling of the land, because all of the settlements are around Yafo. Rav Kook is the chief rabbi of Yafo, which is like Tel Aviv today. So in 1903, Rav Kook made certain tikkunim in the Heter Mechira. In 1910, it's published in the Sefer Shabbat Ha'aretz. Now, how are they allowed to sell the land? Isn't it a ha'arama on a daraisa? So the answer is that the Heter Mechira only works if you hold that Shvius Bismanas is the Rabbana. There's Mablokas in the Gemara in Gittin. So there were Rishonim who did not do principle because Shemitah does not necessarily drop on. At least they'll do principle. Even though it's drop on, at least so that Shemitah will cancel the loans. But are you allowed to sell the land to the guy? It happened, Rav Kook was machmir that he felt that they should sell the land to the guy, but the guy should not do any isurim de oraisa. Right? On Shemitah, there is only Ketzira, Betzira, right? Zeria, Zemira, Ketzira, and Betzira. Those are the four avos on Shemitah. Right? Zeria is you plant it, Zemira is you prune, Ketzira is you harvest, Betzira is you harvest the grapes. Those are the four dairaisas. Rav Kook felt that you sell it to the guy, you have to be choshesh, that maybe Shemitah Bezman is at his dairaisa, and therefore they can't do any of the Yisurim dairaisa. And all the Yisurim D'Oraisa that you're going to do have to be done with like Shiluyim. He has like this whole complicated cheshbon. So it's not. So again, it's not a Tanai in the sense I'm not selling the land on the condition that the guy's going to sell the land then. Right? I'm selling the land to the guy. After Shemitah, I say, hey, you want to pay up? You will.
It's only a full sale if he doesn't do the registering or
right.
I'm sorry, didn't hear? It's only a full
sale. When
you sell it, saying this is yours,
well,
now
that
you don't do these things.
And oh, he does do the same. Yeah, so they are selling. That's a good question. I don't think it's a condition. They're selling the field, right? And the Goyim are instructed. I don't think it was made as a condition in the sale. They just were instructed. Again, let's go slowly. The Goyim
the Jew is doing the avoda. The guy owns the land. The Jew is going to be working the land. So the Jew is told not to do the actual deraisos. The issue with the Heter Mechira was more that there's an Isser to sell Eretz Yisrael to Goyim. But the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Daf Kaf says, well, to Panim, that you can't give Goyim a foothold in the land. So that was the bigger issue with the Heter Mechira. The Chazon Ish, when he said the Heter Mechira does not work at all, he says, because what you're doing is it becomes Shaliach with Dvar Avera. The rabbi who's appointed as a shaliach to sell the field is really doing an aveira of selling Eretz Yisrael to Goyim. Rav Kook, in his essays about the Heter Mechira, I have a few articles on Heter Mechira on why you to go if you want to have some fun, but Rav Kook felt that the Isser of Lo Techaneim only applies to Goyim who are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and Muslims are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So that was the cheshbon of the Heter Mechira. On every Shemitah, the Heter Mechira has been getting better and better. Every year, they make like tikkunim in it. To sell the entire land in one thing is much more difficult halakhically and practically than if you have smaller sales. So every Shemitah, the Heter Mechira has been getting better and better. You should really start learning Shviyas. Tavshin Pei Beis is going to be Shemitah. We have to be prepared. Okay. Any other questions about Song Clements? Fine. So let's go on, Kefra. So the Gemara says, Chafala from a base. So it says that when the, as long as you can eat the chametz, so the chametz, you could sell it to the goy, and it's mutter b'hanoa. The Gemara asks, Shita, right, we're saying that you could eat the chametz, so of course it's mutter b'hanoa. Lo tzricha shecharocho kodem zmano, v'kamashol on kidurava, damarava charocho kodem zmano, mutter b'hanoa afilu la'achar zmano. The case is that the chametz is singed, is burned before this man, and we follow Rava, who says that charocho kodem zmano is mutter la'achar zmano. That's what the Gemara says. Now, what exactly are you doing? You're burning the chametz. To what extent are you burning the chametz? What does Rashi say? What does Tosfos say? Right? I'm burning the chametz, and then I could get hanah from it, because apparently the chametz is, right? I'm burning the chametz before the Isser sets in. Kodem Zmano, most assume, means before the sixth hour. Although the Ritva entertains that maybe it means before the fourth hour, that Harocho Kodem Zmano is only before the Zman that it's Osir Ba'achila. We assume La Halacha, it has to be Harocho before the Isser Hano'a sets in. But to what extent are you burning the chametz? What does Rashi say, Chefer? Look at the Rashi Lo Tzricha. Take the second skinny line. Sorry. Rashi has an expression, Shebitel Tamo Umarisa, that it does not look like chametz anymore. Now, who cares if it looks like chametz? So ladies, you should be able to explain this based on the Rashi that we had already. So what if it doesn't look like chametz? What are we going to say? According to Rashi, what does the word boggy rotten mean? You have to see it. Now, Rashi is basically saying, if I understand Rashi correctly, what Rashi is saying is that I burn the chametz, so then I cannot see that it is chametz, and then I don't violate boggy rotten. What about boggy, let's say?
So those are the two girsaos that we had in Rashi on the Amar Aleph, no? According to the girsa on the side of the Gemara, so when you don't see it, you don't violate Bayi Ra'eh, but you still violate Bayi Matzeh. I would contend that this Rashi only makes sense if you hold that Bayi Ra'eh and Bayi Matzeh is the same thing. Bayi Matzeh means don't have the chametz found. If you can't recognize that it's chametz, so you don't violate Bayi Ra'eh because you don't see it. And it's also not found in the sense of no one is going to find that it's chametz because it doesn't appear like chametz. Bayi Matzeh means ownership of something that appears like chametz. According to the other version of Rashi, the way we have the Rashi printed, there's no difference between Bayi Ra'eh and Bayi Matzeh. And therefore, I would argue that what Rashi is saying is that Bitel Tamo Umar Iso means that it doesn't look like chametz anymore. So therefore, there's no Bayi Ra'eh. And Bayi Matzeh and Bayi Ra'eh is together against the Rambam, who also said Bayi Ra'eh means don't see it. But the Rambam said Bayi Ra'eh and Bayi Matzeh are two different Isurim. Right? We'd have to, in order to explain this Rashi, I think we have to say that Bayi Ra'eh means don't see it, and Bayi Ra'eh and Bayi Matzeh is the same. That's the Shita of Rashi. How does Taisus learn Charecho Kodem Zmano? According to Taisus, if I burn it before the time, why is it Mutter? So Taisus says, you see, it's a little Taisus. You don't ask for Charecho. It's not fit for animals anymore, right? It's not Leila Chilas Kelev. That means it loses its status as chametz entirely. Tosis' shita is that you have to burn it to the extent that it is inedible. There's nothing left. Or nothing that any, right? There's nothing that animals would eat. It's not really lachilas kelim. So we pass him. Charecho kodem zmano is mutter. Let's say you want to eat it. Are you allowed to eat it? There are some people who like eating, I don't know. For some reason, you have a mishagas. You decide that this food, which is mamish burned, you decide you want to eat it. Are you allowed to? Charecho kodem zmano clearly is mutter b'hanoa. But is it also mutter b'achila? Did any of you have a chance to look at the Ran and the Rush yet? No. Okay, so maybe for next time, right, you have to look at the Ran. It's on Hayam Abayz B'dafe Harif. And look at the Rush. And did anyone look at those chuvas I gave, like the chuva negris Moshe? And okay, so that's your homework for tomorrow night. I prepared the sugya. There's much more to say about medications on Pesach. This is the sugya of medications in the sense of if I have a medicine that has some chametz in it, but it's a pill. So whatever chametz, there's a starch that's often found in medications as a binder, no? Are any of you future, did any of you ever take a medicine?
Yes.
Okay. Baruch Hashem, right? So there is often what they call amelat chitim, but it's often like starch of wheat that is in medicine binding. The question is, are you allowed to take the medicine on Pesach? Is it mutter or not? I remember as a kid, we used to have these long lists of which medicines have chametz, which don't have chametz. And what we'll discuss is, do you need such a list? Is there a problem of taking medicine on Pesach that might have chametz in it? That's going to be the conversation that we'll have. If the Fedra... Yeah, guys should prepare these sources. If you want tomorrow night, like we can zoom in just like for a brief conversation, but maybe we should just hold this for Monday. I prepared the sugya. I'll try to give you additional materials also, so that Monday night we'll do this sugya of the medicine of Pesach as well as the next sugya. Is there any questions, comments? Selling Garrett's Israel, selling Chametz.
So going back to selling, so it's not like, what's the deal with the boy knowing how to do actually knowing everything before the sale? It's not, it's just like instructed, like,
it's not a thing. But the guy knows that he's not going to pay for money.
Right.
The guy's been doing it for 40 years.
But the first time he didn't.
So, the guy also knew the first time. The thing is, John Brown says, that apparently this is done in real estate all the time, that you make the deal, and the effect of the deal, right, is going to be like 10 days after closing. Right, that you have a certain amount of time to look at the property, etc. So his understanding of the sale, the way he always says it, is that we do these deals in real estate all the time. You buy it now, it's completely yours, but there is a certain amount of time to look at the property, etc., and the final closing is going to be 10 days later. In our case, we do it 9 days later.
So it doesn't matter what you know that.
It feels very sketchy, yes.
Okay.
At the same time, we understand why it was put into place, because it really feels sketchy, although in practice it's not as sketchy as people think it is. It really... I mean, I can tell you that when Nick caught my rats, he actually came like took pictures of the rats to show to his kids. He's like so excited, like these are my rats. Like, we love them. But yeah, it's not fun for us at all. But this is what we do. Okay, any other questions, comments, observations, jokes? Okay, yes. Okay.
My professor last week, one of her reviewers got up there and was like, I brought my computer to have this party for the tummies.
That's awesome.
Like before Pesach, there were signs up, like, when they're coming, that's kind of like,